Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Jesus, Jesus, or as Bach would say, Jesus, the joy of man's desiring. A prestigious business school had 1,500 graduates in 1 year, and they tracked their life course. And upon graduation, they asked him a question, what is your objective in life? 83% said it was to be a millionaire, and 17% said it was to live by their passion. 20 years later, and they did a follow-up of where each one was, and there were 101 millionaires in that graduating class. 100 of them came from the 17% who said they were going to live out their passion. One came from that group of 83% who said it was their goal in life to become a millionaire. There's a power connection between tapping into our passion and living a life from that passion to discover the wonder of purpose. And so when Bach would compose, he always signed his work with "to the glory of God." It's important to know your passion, but to make sure that passion is ultimately rooted in the wonder and the joy of God. A good friend of mine, Jeff, who is a pastor, was asked by his family years ago what he wanted for Christmas. And he thought, well, you know, I love you as a family. I really have pretty much what I need. I really don't care what I get for Christmas. And so they said, okay. So they gave him a schnauzer. He didn't want a schnauzer. And for 13 years, he lived with a Christmas gift he just assumed not had. And ever since then, he stepped into his passion to know what he wanted when they would ask the question, what do you want for Christmas? What we want from every day significantly determines what we experience in that day. And what we want from each month, what we want from each year, what we want for our life will give shape to what happens in our life. The power of joy is to be in a relationship of respect and humility and delight to something that is bigger than just a circumstance, bigger than one event. It is built into a call of life purpose. And so last spring, when we realized that this COVID-19 was becoming a pandemic, we said and we've lived in a way that we will get through this under God's guidance. With the Lord being the good shepherd, we will get through this. We will be shaped along the way, and we won't end as we began, but we can end stronger than when it all started if we will let ourselves be tapped into a joy beyond the crisis. The one who knows how to see us through. And today, the vaccines are leaving Pfizer plants in Michigan. And this week, we'll have enough vaccine for 28,500 healthcare workers in Bear County. That it's coming up on week by week distribution, that by early May, we will hopefully be at a very different place where the danger of the physical threat of the COVID will have passed. But we're at that vigilant point right now where we must continue to do what all of us are tired of doing. I'm sick of it, aren't you? And yet we're at that vigilant place that if we can get through these holidays, then we can get to the other side and less people will be infected and we can be healthier on the other side. And then if we let the holidays be holy days, we will see God's holy purpose. That if we're sick and tired of the COVID-19 protocols, we can respond with a kind of a responsibility so that more people don't just get sick. Here's the promise. We can lean into the cast of Christmas characters. We can lean into the story of Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah, the shepherds and the wise people. We can, all this ensemble of characters who, just as Jacob said, were just normal people. That is, they were born like we were born. They had the same pressures in life that we have. And yet they chose a response that inspires us today to be resilient and persevere and to rise to the scene so that Christmas 2020, which will be far different from anyone that we've experienced, and far different since what America has experienced since the Christmas of 1920, will be one of a historic proportion because we have found Jesus, the joy of our desiring, to be the source which sees us through. Now, this is what's occurring in the passage that Sarah and Jesse read for us. It's this passage of the telling of Mary. And having finished her conversation with Gabriel, and that we did in our last week's sermon, now she's deciding what she will do. And so Luke 1:39 says that in a hurry, she got everything ready. And then she headed into a town in the hill country of Judea. And getting, that was Luke's way of saying she was under a lot of stress and a lot of pressure. And she had to quickly tell her family that she's got a word that her life will be forever different, and that this difference in her life can make a difference for all the world. Yes, I am pregnant. Yes, I am told that the Savior of the world to be born through me, and that news was hardest for Joseph. And my hunch, as I read between the passages, he was angry. He was hurt. We find his story in the Matthew 1:18-25, having to work through his feelings. And so either Gabriel, the angel, kind of gave Mary a hint that you probably should leave town, or she just had her own wits about her and intuition that she went to a relative's home that she knew would understand. And maybe Gabriel gave a hint that saying something is happening with Elizabeth and Zechariah that is connected to what's happening to you. I suggest you go and spend time with them so that you can walk through this together. You can experience this uniqueness together. Now, we know the absolutely astounding miracle, as we say, is that Jesus was born by virgin birth. There's no other craziness that's connected to this story other than the wildness that fits the wildness of God to the wildness of the world's needs, that he chose to come by the gift of a virgin birth, fully human and fully divine. Everything else is just regular human drama. And then in the midst of this, he gives us this kind of wild card playing itself out as the prophecy's fulfillment from the Hebrew scriptures. It's an amazing story. And so it was time that an older woman and a younger woman, Mary and Elizabeth, they needed to be with each other because she too was caught by surprise in the wonder of the birth that she would give to a cousin, to the one whom Mary would give, Jesus, John the Baptist. To Jesus, the joy of man's desiring. And in this cast of characters that we discover, this remarkable presence of what God provides, it is the sense of that knowing that this kind of joy is accessible. If joy is now and forever, the joy is accessible and it is sustainable. It is a sense of the wonder of God coming into our lives, but we have to participate in the dream if the dream is to come true for us. The dream is still real, and the power is there beyond us. But if we're to take part in the joy now and forever, we have to say, this is my dream, this is my joy, this is what I am coming to. Because after all, the source of the joy is the creator of the heaven and the universe. The source of the joy is the one who's lining up Jupiter and Saturn in this remarkable December 29th Christmas star that will appear in the sky that we may see. And in the midst of this story, we find that we're caught up in a purpose that is bigger than us, but that includes us. So how does it become accessible to us? How do we step into this joy? And how is it that in our lives that we can make this kind of difference of joy giving to others and that it is sustainable? One is to understand the joy of purpose. It's the joy of putting skin in the game. The joy of saying, this is who I am and this is what my life is about. No, I don't have all the answers. No, I still have my own questions. But one thing I do know is that the root of my life is in what Mary said, the Magnificat, which means my soul will magnify the Lord. And so Luke intensifies the story in how what Mary said when she said, my spirit and my soul, that's this double emphasis of saying my full being is into this. All of who I am, plus I'll be giving birth, I'll be giving my full experience of being a woman as a miracle, putting it all at risk for the Christ child to be born. Ultimately, it would be in a cave. So what happened to Mary? Can happen to us in that we too can be true to the word, that we can give our word to the word of God. We can give our word to the word of Christ. We can give our word to the word that will continue to accomplish its purpose until its purpose is accomplished. That's the power of a sustainable purpose in life that enables us to have joy now and forever. In Luke 1:45, Elizabeth, the older woman in this story, she said to Mary, her younger relative, two pregnant women speaking the message to each other. And Elizabeth said, blessed is the woman who believed what the word had promised her. Meaning what Gabriel had told Mary, that you trusted it was going to be true, and you did. Elizabeth's husband, Zachariah, did what I would have done. He kind of backed off when he first got the word that finally, after all stillbirths and miscarriages and difficult times in their family life, they're going to give birth to a child when they were too old to give birth to children. And Elizabeth said, you have believed and you have trusted, and we too trust and believe. And this is a magnificent way for God to be at work. A purpose. We may look for a purpose in our headlines that would make us into a celebrity, but we need to hear this, America. And hopefully we are clearer on this in the midst of the pandemic than ever before, but I'm worried that we're not. It has nothing to do with being a celebrity. It has nothing to do with millions of people knowing your name. Do you know that? But it has everything for you knowing the name of Jesus, being known by the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, and everything with your living your life in his purpose day by day. Her name is Glenda. Glenda worked hard to find me. She had found a Bible. And as she opened this Bible, found in a thrift store, she pieced together this Bible had belonged to someone that I knew. I don't know Glenda. She didn't know me, but she was a retired investigator. And as a retired investigator, she wanted to relocate the Bible to the one whom had once belonged the Bible, and that if she could get the Bible to me, then I could get it to the person to whom this Bible had once belonged to. I mean, she did all of her sleuthing as an investigator. She found me, we connected, we met. She delivered the Bible to me. I'm going to be giving that Bible to the person this week. And I asked, why did you do this? Why have you gone through all this effort? She said, well, in my retirement, what I do is I will go to thrift stores or lost and founds, and when there are Bibles there, I will pick them up and I will give them to people. But if in the Bible there's a story, there's a story within the story of that Bible being where it is, and if I can help relocate that Bible to the owner of the Bible, then that gives me great delight. It gives me delight to help get the Word of God, the Scriptures, into the lives of people who didn't have it. So here's one, and I can just give it to someone in her life as a friend or on the street or wherever she's living and going. But then I can also get it back sometimes, to the one who originally owned it. Now see, that's her life purpose in retirement. She took her life skills, which she's very good at, and she applies it in the application of sharing a word and promise to God. See, if we will pay attention to that passion, and we will give our passion to the Lord and say, Lord, shape my passion, bless this passion. When I get up in the morning, stir this passion within me that my passion will honor you. It's a powerful piece. And there's the joy. There's a joy of being known and knowing. There's a joy of knowing that God knows you. The gift of being known by God. And there's the gift of being a joy giver, of knowing other people. One of my passions, one of the kind of driving forces inside of my life is to know people's stories, their life story. What has shaped and worked in the person's life to bring him or her or them where they are right then? And then what stirs in that person's life to want to think about a future? And how to build a bridge between then, past, then, future, to the now. Just fascinating. It's honoring to be into people's life stories. I don't want a schnauzer. Don't give me a schnauzer this Christmas, okay? But the gift of being in our story, and so when I will say, like you will say, and your responsibility is for me when I will say, it is a joy and a privilege to be your pastor. The joy is that it is a responsibility. It is a delight. It gives me pleasure. It is bigger than me. It stretches me. It turns me inside out. It connects me to the one who is the maker of heaven and earth. It is all about this Jesus, Jesus, the joy of people's desiring. And it is a joy. The joy connected to the privilege of purpose. The joy of knowing and being known. One of the ways that I knew that I wanted to ask Vicki to marry me is that I realized that she got me. She knew me. And she still liked me. And she still loved me. And she still wanted to be with me. Though when I proposed to her, she took a long time to say yes. I mean, she took all of 5 minutes, and I was worried. And a lifetime of this work and journey. But it was essential that I knew that she knew me and she knew what she was getting into. And it was essential that I knew her and what I was getting into, even though we only had this much of real awareness of who all of who we were and all that would happen in life. But we trusted all of that into the hands of God. That same is true for you. Every one of us want to be known for who we truly are. And part of what has occurred in the trauma of our society, in the trauma of the controversy of 2020, is that we as a people have been speaking so much at each other and not with each other, not really listening to each other. It's not a beginning place of do you agree with me or not agree with me. A beginning place is help me understand. And in that is a common place for us to stand together and find the purpose of Christ that then builds a bridge by which we then build a future. Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame and is seated down now at the right hand of God. When Jesus, 33 years after his birth, was nailed to the cross, hung from the cross, died on the cross. One born of virgin birth, fully man, fully human, fully divine, rejected by humanity, the power broker sent him to the cross. There he died. The cross was a symbol of shame. No one in the Roman Empire, no one in the day of Jesus looked at the cross and said, that's good news. That inspires me. But after the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and after the power of the resurrection of Jesus, converting people, transforming people's lives, to share in all of life together, giving the sign that Jesus is alive, then the cross became the symbol that we know today. The symbol of a victory over death. And behind this cross are the Christmas trees. And the Christmas tree in one line of the tradition. It's the sign of the living tree, the Axis Mundi, the new tree of life from the Garden of Eden into to the roots of Calvary, where the crucifixion took place, to the heart of the root of the season of Christmas, that we can look at the Christmas tree and see that the tree of life that's mentioned in the opening of Genesis, the closing of Revelation, this tree of life wins. The power of being known and knowing. There's a Vermonter who lives in Jericho, Vermont, by the name of Wilson. He took seriously that statement early in the 20th century when he heard that no two snowflakes were alike. Really? So it became part of his lifelong passion to photograph with a microscope and a camera that he invented, and took more than 5,000 photographs of snowflakes and compared them with each other. And sure enough, he discovered what he had heard was true to be true, that no two snowflakes are alike. It became part of his passion, using a talent and ability. And part of what comes out of his research is what is also true, that when we say that no two snowflakes are alike, and so it is for us as people, there are no two people who are exactly alike. So much in common, so much to be shared in common, but a distinction in not what we call our DNA, a distinction in our own uniqueness, and yet God loves us all equally. That's why Jesus came. Jesus, the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us, with all of us. Now, this passion, this joy, is what can permeate and penetrate all the passions in our life. If it doesn't, the passion isn't worthy. Let it go. It will only put you on the ash heap of life. But the passion that is worthy, that can go into your talent and use your motivation to go through each day in whatever age they were in, this is the power of being known by the one who knows your uniqueness and sends you in the world as a joy agent, which then leads us to the joy of seeing yourself in God's big plans. What's amazing is that when you read the Magnificat, you read Mary's response. And in her response, she lays out some revolutionary statements about God at work in the world. When she begins, verse 49, "For the mighty one, El Shaddai, has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Now, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." We're 101st generation, 20 years to a generation now, from when the birth of Jesus took place. Verse 51, "He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. The haughty will plummet to the earth. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. Herod the Great, you're going to kill all those who are 2 years and younger in Bethlehem, but you're going to die in your wickedness. Power brokers of the world, sending Jesus to the cross, it is not going to make your lives more secure, because it will set his resurrection free to change the world. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. For those who have more than others," that's a gift, it's an opportunity, and it's a responsibility. To be able to share in a voluntary spirit of passion, to give what we have in a way that helps others to know that they are equally important to God. "He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful, the mission movement of God, fulfilling all the promise that was given to Abraham." Mary was seeing her place in the big picture of God. And that would give her sustaining joy that when she would return to Nazareth, Luke 1:56, all kinds of criticism was coming her way, but she'd be ready. As a historian, I pay attention to some photographs of the past, and this one caught my eye. It's a photograph of a milkman in London once the evil of Hitler's Third Reich was trying to bomb the city. He has rubble all around him, and what he is carrying is milk to deliver it. He could have gotten up that morning and thinking, God, I'm just glad I'm alive one more day, and I'm just going to stay here and protect myself. But he thought, no, I have a job, and my job is to deliver milk so others can drink the milk, and they will help them to live. Know that in the rubble happening around us, God has the pathway for us to go through it with this purpose when we see ourselves fulfilling his big plan. Several years ago, we began praying for our neighborhood and for our city. Some of us have kept that going by the opportunity of praying for those who live around us. That is, every morning we have five names that are sent to us who people live right in our neighborhood, and to pray for them. And on some mornings, most mornings, but not all mornings, I'll get that early in the morning and I'll pray for these five people. That's part of my purpose in a day. I don't know what all comes from that prayer, but I do know that the one to whom I am praying can do amazing things beyond what I could ever do. But through him, that he could be done unto his purpose. What we do know in this incredible full pew of our student ministry back there is that what we know with our youth, when they are connected to adults of different generations, it helps them to go from high school into college and to grow in their faith, because they're connected to adults who have done that very same thing, are doing the very same work in the life of children, being intergenerational. What you do in the life of the Trinity family, connecting with the different generations, makes a difference. And so it is that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 6 months. Said about 3 months. And then she went home. And she was ready for what was going to come. Because she discovered that the joy of Jesus had taken root in her life. The root of her soul, and her purpose was to magnify it wherever she went. May it be for all of us. Amen. We have prayed in this COVID-19 season for a vaccine to be discovered. We give thanks to God that one has been discovered. We prayed for friends and loved ones who have contracted COVID-19 within our church and in our larger circle of our work and life, neighborhood. Former pastor Charlie Johnson and his wife Jenna have just learned that they contracted COVID-19. Part of what we're going to do right now, we're going to have a prayer as we move into our response time, our invitation time, of giving thanks to God that a vaccine is discovered. We pray for the distribution, for those whom we know, that for you to have a time of praying for God's healing to be upon their lives, as well as for the Johnsons. Let's pray together. This invitation is radical, Lord. It opens our hearts into the bigness of your grace. How we dance for joy when we realize the vaccines and the use of science and the use of medicine and the use of a discovery that can get underneath a horrible virus and cure it. We thank you for that discovery. We pray now for the distribution to be able to reach around the world and bring this safety and security. We pray that we won't forget the lessons that we've needed to learn along the way in the recovery of other areas of our life, that we'll continue to feel the effect from the pandemic. All of us right now have people in our heart who now are being treated for COVID-19. Isolated, doing their due diligence, medical care, on a ventilator, maybe in the hospital. And we pray for Charlie and Jana, your care and grace to be upon them. And Lord, thank you for being the source of joy now and forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.